I'm gonna sneak into the editing process and just add a bunch of sound effects right after I say
Oh, yeah.
It's all those weird sounds that you can find in there. And be like, what the hell happened? I'm like, Kyle happened. Kyle's gonna hear all this. He's gonna be like, you bastard.
Like, you thought we didn't know what we were doing, but we did.
We're telling you this so we can do something completely different.
Be like that little crazy. Oh no, she's back.
No.
Okay.
This is Otherworldly Divergence, where we come to you from across the veil, with your hosts, Adam and Tylo.
Get into Vlad.
Oh, okay.
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlop.
What I'm going to tell you about Vlad the Impaler is most of the things you know about him is bullshit.
So take everything you know and throw it out the window.
Yeah, because the way that he's being portrayed in, like, history and fiction and all that, especially because of Bram Stoker, he's the main cause of all. But, like, all of it is a load of shit. It's been dramatized, fictionalized. Nobody really knows the truth, but, like, the closest version to the truth, like, based on accounts that match, you know, like, from different people, even if they were, like, on this side or that side or whatever, is that he was not really, he was maybe born in Transylvania. It's very unlikely that he was, though. And he never actually owned anything in Transylvania. So the castle in Transylvania that people visit that's known as Dracula's Castle is a complete hoax made up by the Romanian government. Yeah,
really?
They market it as like the home of Dracula and all that stuff, but literally it's just a museum to vampiric things. Like, he never owned that castle. He never even likely set foot in that castle. So, like, calling it like Vlad's castle is ridiculous.
Damn it.
But there is,
and I wanted to go there so bad.
I know.
Romania, Transylvania, whatever you want to call it, where he is, where, like, it was likely that he might have been born because it was where his father actually owned the residence. So there's a possible chance that he was born in Romania, like in Transylvania. You can visit the castle that he was held prisoner in. So that's like an actual location that you can go and see in Turkey.
He lived there unwillingly.
Yeah, he was taken there. The name Dracula, I'll go into a wee bit more, came from the Holy Roman Emperor, who was recently, like, crowned that. He inducted Vlad's dad into the knightly order of the Order of the Dragon, which gave him the new surname Dracula. Like, the name came from the old Romanian word for dragon. And then his son would become known as Son of Dracula, and in Romanian that translates to Dracula, which is, like, spelt with L-E-A at the end. But the words have always been associated with demons as well. And that's why Bram Stoker chose the name the word Dracula in his note, like, for his character. Yeah, but anyway, so the Order of the Dragon was devoted to killing the Turkish Empire. Like, the Ottoman Empire's goal was to wipe it out, because they'd basically been harvesting their children as for soldiers for, like, hundreds of years. So, like, the Turks would come into Romania and, like, Hungary, all these places, and just say, you owe us children, you owe us soldiers. And they would take thousands of boys away to be, like, trained brutally and used as soldiers to help them conquer the world.
Damn.
Yeah.
Vampire army.
Taking people and feeding on children. Got it.
Vampire army.
Basically. Anyway, so the reason he became, like, leader of all, because he had two older brothers, is because his dad tried to make peace with them for a little while, and they captured him and let Vlad go on the condition that he would be on their side and continue to give them children. Eventually, he won it back by, like, basically oppressing all of the people who were in power. So, like, you know, like, the equivalent of nobles in, like, medieval Europe, the ones who, like, had the money. And the soldiers, like, they had to basically oppress them to get them on his side. So basically got them on his side by, like, oppressing them and also convincing them that he could take on the Ottomans, which he did a good job of for a little while.
Yeah, he's seen as a hero in areas of Romania.
He's seen as a just but fierce ruler. That's what they've seen him as.
Yeah, he's got a lot of heroic tales behind him. But anyway, go ahead.
The way he started being known as the Impaler is because he arranged a meeting with all of the people that opposed him in his country. Like, he had them all sat at dinner and then stabbed them all, had them all killed while eating, and then impaled them all while they were still wriggling.
While they were still what?
Well, they were still, like, twitching and, like, still...
Oh, black. Okay.
Had them...
It sounded like you said they're still riddling, and I'm like, what is riddling?
No, wriggling.
Wiggling. Wriggling. Okay. Wriggling. That's, there you go. Yeah. Found it.
Yeah, so while they were still, like, alive, basically, they were dying, he had them impaled on spikes and then sat down and ate the rest of his dinner.
Damn, can you imagine
He did this often, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's why he got the name. Like, that was his favorite.
Vlad the Impaler.
Cute people.
Yeah, can you imagine going on ahead and being fucking alive and then having a giant-ass dick just shoved right up your ass?
Yep. Ass to mouth. That's how it was.
You know, basically...
Ass to mouth.
Yeah. Turning
Centipede.
Into... Exactly. Turning into human goddamn shish kebab.
Yeah. You know, like, it was hundreds of them. Literally, like, on spikes around them. And he's just sitting there with his dinner that he made. Like, better not let it go to waste. You know?
He's like, Jeeves! Yeah. Bring the wine.
A bit of blood on it, but you know, who can eat that? It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
The wine was blood.
Yeah. Oh my god, it all makes sense.
The other times he's been known for is fucking even worse. Like, with the Ottomans, he was much more brutal. He had envoys, so, like, basically, like, the representatives of the Ottoman Empire come to ask him for money and children. But they refused to remove their turbans as a sign of respect to him. So in response, he said, well, you'll have those turbans on forever now. And he had them nailed to their heads and then put on spikes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pretty fucked up.
You love it so much, yeah. Keep it.
And then so after that, the Ottomans invaded Wallachia. They got all the way to the capital city just to find that there was nobody left. And in front of the city, there was just hundreds of bodies of his own prisoners all impaled in front of the town.
Huh.
Yeah. So, like, it was so brutal.
It's like a gallery of bodies.
Yeah.
Like this is my museum.
Oh, this one. This one was a screamer.
This is my power. This is the museum of what my power looks like.
Yeah. Like, the man was, like, nuts. One of the reasons why people are like, well, maybe he had some kind of, like, magical aura around him because he could manipulate people into believing that he was a good person, a good ruler, when he was just impaling all these people on spikes like it was nothing.
Yeah, it was more like it was just all, like, respect through fear.
Yeah.
You know, much like, you know, a Latina mama, you know? You respect the fuck out of her. God damn it, you fucking fear her. Because you know what they're capable of.
Yep, Kyle doesn't know what that is.
Well, why do you think I don't try to piss off my mom?
Kyle doesn't understand Latin moms.
Oh, yeah. Well, literally this. I respect my mom, but I fear her.
Yeah.
No, my mom's awesome. But anyway...
Vampires.
Going back to Vlad, there's never really been a connection between Dracula and Vlad the Impaler except for that last name. So, like, all the associations drawn between, like, the book Bram Stoker wrote and him are complete bollocks because he didn't even know who Vlad the Impaler was, according to history.
He knew in essence.
Yeah, like, he knew about, you know, he knew of him, but, like, he was inspired by Wallachia. Like, that was, and Romania, yeah, was all, Transylvania was obviously the setting for his movie. So he'd done, like, some research, but, like, the association between the two was done completely by people who read these books.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, come on, you know, you gotta hype shit up in order to sell.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's all about the almighty dollar.
It is true. But interestingly, though, like, in Romania, like, it is still, like, a really believed thing. As recent as 2004, there was a body that was taken out of the grave and then they performed, like, a vampire ritual on it.
In Romania?
Yeah, in 2004.
That's so crazy.
Like, that recent, like, 16 years ago.
The fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's worked this long.
And then in 2003, they also like had a guy who they believed had come back from the dead and made the distant relevant six. So six villagers went and dug up his body, cut out his heart, put stakes through the body. And then
what the fuck?
The relative like started getting better.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they do say that all of like lore and stuff, like it comes from fact somewhere.
And here you go. Here's true. The Hemlock Grove. Here's the biggest connection to the two. This is to quote this book thing. It's like, stories like this aren't unusual. In fact, many rural villagers believe that children born breech or with the placenta still attached are likely to become Strigoi when they die, which is what they call vampire.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like they were saying, like what's his face was born with the call or some shit.
The call, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually what it's called, and then they used that exactly to the word. But interestingly, when they die, they poke knitting needles through their eyes so they don't come back.
Ouch.
Yeah.
There's a book I read. There's a series of books I read about vampires called Vampire Academy. Their vampires are called Strigoi or Strig.
Yeah, that's the actual
Stromboli
name for them.
Strigoi, like it's Strigoi.
Yeah, that's
Strigoi.
It. Yeah.
Strigoi. I pronounced it Strigoi, but I never heard it. I know the word from reading it.
Yeah.
The Strigoi were the vampires that were, they had lost their souls, so they had no control over their morals. They didn't have morals, so the person that you knew is gone. So they had the good vampires and the bad vampires, and it was just as simple as not having a soul to keep control of your morals. And like, to you know, the Strigoi were like ruthless killers. And the other vampires, which I can't think of the name of because I just randomly started thinking about this book off the top of my head and it's been ages since I read it, but I loved that book. I love the way they depicted the vampires. So if you haven't read Vampire Academy, the series is great.
Looks like I'll have to read up some.
It's good. Yeah. It's really good. I love a good vampire story, but only if it's... I mean, okay, I read Twilight.
Yeah, same here.
I had to. I mean, it's a good story, all right?
It was a good story. Until it got to the sparkly vampire.
That I didn't understand. What? That's like one of the few things in the whole thing that I didn't get. Why sparkle?
I don't know. But I mean, all I know is that... You know what? Yes, it was an excellent series. You know, unfortunately, then the craze took over. Because I read it before the craze took over. Me you too. Know, I think it was like probably about, you know, a year after after I started reading it. That's when people were like, oh my God, Team Jacob, Team Edward. Yes!
And I'm yeah, like, exactly. No. The books were so good that I like speed read through them in a day. Each book I read in like a day or less. Like, yeah. I think I would start one, finish it, and then start the next one before the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so the books were great, and they made me cry, and they were really, really good.
Yeah.
I have to say they're really good.
But on the other hand, though, like when it comes to that, they actually, what do you call it? Two different types of vampire, you know?
Vampires.
You know, you yeah. have, well, the vampires, and then you have the essential vegan vampires who just eat the animals, mm-hmm. which is, well, very... ironic in, of sorts, but but yes, it's essentially that, and like they look this they look different, they act different, everything like that.
Their eyes were different. They were the gold eyes or the red
yeah
eyes.
And they were,
that's how you could tell the difference.
Yeah, and they were their actual behavior was much less predatory, while those right. who fed on human blood, they were extremely predatory.
Yeah, and vicious.
Yeah, and sadistic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of you know. Did that Vampire Diaries as well, didn't they?
I've never
yeah, like
watched
the vampires, the vampires that fed on human blood.
Well, the way it works in that show is like they were more likely to flick their emotions off because they were
killing. They had the switch. People. Yeah, they could turn their emotions off and become
predatory.
Strigoi, basically. Okay. Their soul. They can shut off their.
Their humanity.
Their humanity. Their humanity switch. There you go.
Moral inhibition.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Which made them ruthless killers without any remorse.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they described it like a self-defense mechanism, which is something that probably would happen. Like, if vampires were a real thing, evolution and the way that it works, at least as far as we know, I would say that, like, vampires probably would evolve to change throughout the centuries.
Well, I mean, you also have to think of, like, let's say, in the originals. I mean, have you ever seen originals?
You watched the originals, but you didn't.
Yes, I know. I know. Okay, I'm a very fucked up kind of person. Leave me alone.
Like, you realize that the originals is a spinoff of the Vampire Diaries.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why we're like, wait a minute.
I think I did. I think I've heard that it was, but I just didn't fucking care because I just was like,
Listen to me good. In order to fully understand the originals, you have to watch the first few seasons of Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Because it goes into so much backstory about Haley, and it goes into, you know, like, okay, yes, the originals talks about the original family more, but you learn so much about where they originate and all that stuff from the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, like the originals are like a heavy feature in the Vampire Diary.
Yeah, until they spin off because they were so much of their own story. Wait, how about this? They spun off into their own show.
Well, are they actually in Vampire Diaries?
Yeah, they're the main characters.
All right. Well, then I'll be a little bit more. They show up.
I think they show up in around season 2. But
like, for instance, like Caroline, who's like, I think she's main character in there, ain't she?
Caroline becomes a main character like very quickly. Yeah.
Originals, yeah, like you get to see like how she became a vampire, like all the stuff that led up to that and all that. It's pretty cool.
And now there's another spinoff now of the originals.
Goddamn! How many spinoffs do you need?
So the Vampire Diaries was the original, and then the originals is the spinoff of the Vampire Diaries, and then
wasn't the spinoff of there's a spinoff of the originals, which is I believe Hope's story, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Hope Michael's Legacies.
Yeah, that's it.
Legacies is the spinoff of the originals.
Yeah, and that basically, like, goes into the story. Like, I don't know how far in the originals you are, but, like, they talk about the Salvatore boarding school.
Yes.
And the only way you know about the Salvatore anything is by watching Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, well, like, and the Salvatore boarding school is what Legacies is based around. So it's basically, like, kind of like a Harry Potter type-esque, like, vampires, werewolves, witches all living in the school, and it basically, like, portrays their life.
So we're far away from Vlad. Did you have anything more to add about Vlad? Did we just steal that away from you?
No, I wasn't there. Yeah, basically, Vlad, like, everything you know about Vlad, you play it wrong. If you look at, like, his actions, then you can maybe pull, like, vampiric tendencies from him, but, like, the stories linking him to it is all hearsay.
Okay.
That was true.
So we don't really know anything about him, except that he may or may not be the actual inspiration from Dracula, which he's probably not at all.
Well, he's not. That was confirmed. Like, they said that the name came
from the only thing.
Him seeing, like, Vlad Dracula in the footnotes of a book.
And he was like, Dracula. Yeah, that sounds like something a vampire would say.
Well, the origin of that is that he found out that Drac stood for a devil in Romanian.
Which it does, in a way.
It does. No, Drac.
It evolved devil. To be. Yeah.
And then he saw Vlad's name in a book, and he combined the two, and he was like, well, yeah, that's sorted.
Back. And he was like, what's your name? Dracula. It works. So. Yep.
It's like, now more for me.
You know, what we have been talking about is, like, you know, different kinds of vampires and shit. And, you know, one I really do want to touch base on is psychic or energy vampires.
Yes.
And those ones are, I guess you could say, they're actually the more prevalent ones, the more, in all honesty, actually the ones that do really fucking exist and are acknowledged by science and shit.
However, when you look up psychic vampires, it says that they're all fictional.
I know, right? That's the funny thing.
They're not.
Exactly. You know,
psychic vampires are real, everybody.
Yes. One way that they can basically say is when it comes to, like, psychic or energy, I'm basically going to go ahead and, like, put them in the same category. So it's psychic / energy vampire. They're the same fucking thing. They're just different names.
Well, there's two different. Okay. There's two different categories of a psychic vampire.
Yeah. So for psychic vampires, okay, yeah, they are pretty much treated as a fictional character. People say that, oh, you know, they're just basically kind of like mind controlling, like how a typical vampire would fucking go ahead and do it.
Yeah, like in Vampire Diaries when they can like just, or in the originals,
look at you
when
and just like you're under my control now.
You're going to do this. You're going to walk out of here right now and you're going to forget everything. You're going to forget we met today. And then
basically Men in Black them.
So yeah, most people when they hear a psychic vampire, they think that that's what that means, or that they can read your mind or control your mind, or yeah.
Yeah. You know, and also like they're able to go ahead and mess with your emotions. So like, let's say you're around someone and you had a really good day, you're feeling on top of the world, and then you're just around this one person and without any fucking effort, then you just start getting sullen and depressed and shit, you know, and you're like, oh, what a world, what a world. Either they can just be in your presence or they could just start communicating with you and like just you guys exchange words. And now I'm not saying, oh, you know, they're just being a Debbie fucking Downer. No, I mean, like, you'll have a casual ass conversation and next thing you know, you just feel fucking drained after that conversation.
And we all know people like that. When you talk to them, you walk out of it feeling so icky.
Yeah. And like they say, like when it comes to that, people, okay, I'm not saying that this is 100% positive. There are some people that say that, oh, you know, those who have personality disorders, like, you know, dissociative or bipolar or, you know, even depression, anxiety and shit like that, they're able to go ahead and basically either train or give an access. So,
Sorry, I was going to make a comment and I changed my mind. Go ahead.
Oh, now I really want to know your comment.
I was going to say borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
People with borderline personality disorder, so I study psychology in my free time. I read textbooks for fun. I'm not a psychologist, so don't take my word for fact. But borderline personality disorder, people with this disorder, I'm not at all saying, I know people with it and they're not bad people, but they're the people with the most extreme cases of it are draining to those of us who don't live with it. And I have to be delicate with the wording of this because, again, they're not bad people. They tend to have a need for drama and attention. And they will do anything they can to stir it up and create it where it doesn't exist. And in that sense, yes, that would make them like a psychic vampire in a way, because they drain your will to just, you know.
No. I totally see where you're going with that. Well, when it comes to the actual term of psychic vampire, the term itself was actually popularized by Anton LaVey. He was a leader in the Church of Satan. You know, well, pretty much within that, he used the term psychic vampire just basically to say that to mean someone who's like spiritually or emotionally weak. And what that weak person would do is just basically take the energy of those who are not as weak, you know, so stronger people, you know. So like, let's say, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm probably even guilty of some shit like that. Cause I mean, you know me, like I'll go ahead and let's say I'm in the room, I've been having a shit week, I've just been depressed all week, blah, blah, blah. And then you and I are talking and shit like that. And then suddenly I'm all peppy again. In essence, okay, that's in essence. I'm not saying it's the direct meaning of it, but in essence, that's what it is. Now, see, there's also different types of energy, psychic vampires and shit like that. One being the sexual with, you know, the succubus and the incubus. Because sexual energy, well, yeah, it in itself is actually a very powerful form of energy.
Yeah, definitely.
There's also other types, like, let's say, more what people see as more abusive or some shit. When you have toxic people in your life, you know, or when you have, I'm pretty sure that we've all had it, that ex, you know, not just, oh, you know, that they're my ex. No, that ex, the kind of ex that you just makes you skin crawl and shit like that, because you're like, oh my God, they were just such a fucking nuisance, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are people who tend to, let's say, not take responsibility for their actions. You know, they'll go ahead and be like, oh, well, you know, I didn't do it, or it's not my fault.
Or turn it on you.
Yeah, exactly. Or turn it on you. And they'll be like, let's say they'll have a group project or some shit. Everybody was doing their fucking jobs except for that one person and their critical fucking role, you know, and they end up getting like a failing grade, and they'll be like, I can't believe none of you guys did this. You know, I can't, you know, this is such a fucking embarrassment. Why didn't you guys do it all properly? Blah, blah, blah. Even though they didn't do their own shit.
And they deflect.
You know, or, yeah, or they'll be like, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just sitting there, you know, and they're getting angry at me for some reason. I don't fucking know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it's like, well, you damn well know why. You just don't want to fucking take a responsibility for it.
No, in some cases, they don't know why. They don't have the ability to see things, because to understand why means that they know that they should take responsibility. But there are people that believe that they are not in the wrong in any way whatsoever, and they firmly believe this. And so because of that, there's no possible way that they would actually know why.
Yeah, because they pretty much expect for you to solve it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just like. And they
expect you to take the blame, because in their eyes, it's easier for you to take the blame than for them to accept responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. And
they deflect that responsibility on you so they can take that burden off their own back and keep moving on.
Exactly. And you know, they tend to be, you know, always, you know, within some sort of like drama and shit like that. You know, so they'll be like, why is everybody mad at me? I don't deserve this shit. You know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. But it's like, you know,
are you one, Joe? Are you a good person?
Well, I mean, it's like you know, if you have enough people telling you, hello, you got to fix this shit because it ain't fucking right. Maybe, just maybe,
you're in the wrong.
You might want to fix that shit.
Yep.
You know, but instead what they do is they unload their shit on you and be like, I'm a good person. You know, I don't deserve to be treated this way. Blah, 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 blah. I do this. Seek sympathy. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they expect for you to go ahead and fix it for them, mm-hmm. you know, and
or feel bad for them and give them sympathy, which they then feed off that to make themselves feel better.
Exactly. You know, they basically, you know, go off your guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll always try to one up you in order to be able to be better.
Yeah.
You know, then basically they just try to one up you because,
like, it diminishes your accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes themselves feel better.
Exactly. Because
by putting you down.
Exactly. Because then they're feeding off your energy where you're being like, well, shit, you know, I'm.
And they're probably lying about fucking, it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, better than me, you know, kind of deal. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Not for them, but for you. People who are like that, and I have knocked quite a few out of my life, and I'm pretty sure you guys have too.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to get rid of, like, okay, with psychic vampires, there's nothing you can do about them. You can't fix them, you can't help them, you can't,
they're essentially set in their ways.
Nothing you can do.
I see it in like two different forms. Cause there's one on one end of the spectrum, you've got like the predatory ones. They're like out to basically drain you of everything you have. Yeah. But like on the other end of the spectrum, I see them. You know, those people that you'll be around and like there'll be no reason for it. They won't be saying anything like bad. They won't be saying anything like negative. But just being around them is just a drain on everything. Like I feel like those people are like uncontrollable, like black holes. I see them as.
There's nothing they can do about that. That's just them.
Perfect example of like the opposite end of the spectrum is Munchausen by proxy. Cause it's like,
yes, actually, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a very good one. You know, because like, let's
they're
say
they're literally like, sucking your life force out.
Yeah.
There's one that we definitely know that is very prevalent is codependency. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tends to be romantic relationships. You know, I mean, it could be friendships. It could be, you know, just family members.
You see it a lot in like parent-child relationships. And in a lot of cases, it's the parent dependent on the child.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the parents guilting the child into doing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as kind of more like that one is more like parasitic almost.
Yeah, it is.
Like instead of like looking at like vampire like feeding off something, it's more like a parasite that's latched on and like it can't survive without you. And like,
well, yeah, like,
you think you and then
Exactly. And well, in earlier, we did actually just mention that, you know, a parasite is pretty much a form of vampire.
Yeah.
You know? Mosquitoes are vampires.
Yeah. Fucking mosquitoes. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of those people will make you believe that you need them. Yeah. And this exactly. is what I've learned mostly, I mean, from experience, but also I've seen it outside of my experience. Because when you're in it, you don't see it. But when you're outside, you can see it better. And these people will make you believe that you need them. But in reality, it's them that need you.
Yeah.
But they flip it around to make you want to stay.
Exactly. And it happens like they do it through isolation.
Mm-hmm.
People would see these as abusive behaviors. And, you know, yes,
they are.
In my opinion, you know, energy vampirism is a form of abuse.
Definitely.
And, you know, it would be like isolation or keeping them from getting a job and then just making them solely dependent on your income or basically doing some things and then expecting them to kiss your feet kind of deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, dude, it doesn't fucking work that way, first of all. It just doesn't, especially if you're in a fucking relationship. It's like, no. But it does happen with parents and kids as well. Like, you know, the parent will be like, I've done all this stuff for you. You know, you owe me, you know.
You wouldn't have been able to do this without me.
Yeah. And it's like,
thank you for what you've done, but.
Yeah, exactly. Like, thank you for putting, you know, food in my belly and clothes on my back. But if you're an asshole, I mean, really, does that really make up for all this shit? No.
Like, I didn't ask for you to give birth to me or for you to bring me into this world. You,
exactly.
You did an adult action.
You couldn't keep it in your pants.
Yeah. You did an adult action and faced the adult consequences or the adult. There's the action. There's the consequence. In this case, if you're like saying, I need something from you because I did this for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that for me. But ultimately, that was the consequence of your adult action. You did those things because you chose to breed. And the consequence was that it worked.
Making whoopee.
It worked. And I am here now. So don't make me feel like I was there in the room at the time saying, please make me born.
Oh, God, no.
People tend to fall into cycles. And we stay in these cycles because they're familiar. And it's not comfortable to step out of the cycle. And people don't know how to step outside the cycle because it's like, well, I already know what's going to happen. And people keep going, they go in the same circle over and over again, hoping for different results and thinking, well, maybe if I just go about it the same way with a different person, it'll be different. But the end game is the same. They take the same steps in the same pattern over and over and over again, and they change out something about it. But in the end, it's the same exact pattern and nothing changes.
Exactly.
For you, it's a matter of growing that backbone, which you've started to do recently. I'm very proud of you. Growing that backbone and learning to see it for what it is and say, you know what? As much as I wish I could help you, I'm unable to do that right now.
Oh, yeah. And it's really hard to do that, though.
It is. It's like you make yourself feel so bad.
I know. I'm like my own energy vampire.
You are. You're like, well, I mean, would it really hurt me to do this? Yes. Yes, it would.
I know. And that's literally what I'm always having to say. I'm like, no, you got to stick to this because, well, yeah. When it came to facing my vampires, whew, that's a whole nother story.
It is. Well, that like, takes a lot of backbone, too.
You know who I'm talking about.
I'm pretty sure. There's a few people's names popping in my head at the moment. So I'm not entirely sure, but I'm
pretty sure. See, everybody, like, this is my track record. Because the fact that she's able to go ahead and have a few names pop in her head, that pretty much shows my track record.
To sum it up, psychic vampires, there are, in my theory, three different types. There's the people that just cannot help it because they actually have like a
mental disorder,
like mental health issues. I don't want to say mental disorder. It's a mental health issue. Some people with mental health issues, especially those that are schizophrenic or, you know, people that have bipolar disorder, it happens. Borderline personality disorder is a big one. narcissism is a huge.
Oh my god. I felt that one.
So there's so many different mental health issues that make people have psychic vampire tendencies. And I don't want to call them psychic vampires because they're not always that way.
Yeah. And okay. To our listeners, when it comes to mental health issues, we know that, yes, it cannot be prevented. That's a better term for
that
it.
That is the perfect term.
That is.
The side effects of your mental health issues cannot be prevented.
There are some where through therapy, it can be helped. There are others that through medication, it can be helped. And then there are those with a combination of both that can be helped. It's just a matter of seeking help. I mean, I personally do have depression and anxiety.
I have PTSD.
I'm human, and being human in itself is broken. So
true, very true. But
I have human disorder, Kyle.
But we do have our whole fair share of mental health issues. So when we do speak of them here, you know, just remember that we're not trying to degrade or to demean or what's the word I'm looking for.
We don't think that people with mental health issues are bad people, because 99% of the time they're not.
Yeah.
Anyway, that I had to throw that in.
Though, like, who are we to really judge, like, who's mentally?
We're no one.
We're not. No, we're not.
Like, not us, like humans in general. Like, how can one say to another human, "I'm normal and you're not"? It's like, I feel like every human is unbalanced in some way. It's just some are more extreme than others.
Exactly. And some just pretend they're not.
Yeah, it's like you can't say that you're normal, because what constitutes normality? There is no such thing as normal.
Normal is what the majority says is this is what's acceptable.
Normal is different than another person's normal in every case. Like, yeah. Anywhere, mental sanity is decided by the person, not like, and it's so weird that we like classify somebody as like mentally ill and somebody who's not, when technically we could all be mentally ill and we just don't know it, because that's the definition of being mentally ill, is not knowing that there's something wrong with you.
And my theory is, as long as you're not a danger to yourself or other people, yeah, that's your normal. You're fine. Like, live your life in your normal, as long as you're not hurting anybody. That's where I stand on mental health.
No, and it's a very just stance.
Right.
To digress back into vampirism.
What I was saying, though, is like psychic vampires, there's the three different kinds. There's
yes.
There's the ones that can't help it. The ones that, because of mental health, are unable to control it. They have tendencies. They're not vampires, but they have psychic vampiric tendencies.
Yes.
Then there's the ones that are pure psychic vampires to the core, and they don't realize that that's how they are. They're unable to see it. They're unable to know. So they just live this way, thinking that's their normal. And they're going around siphoning the life out of everybody.
Yeah.
And not realizing, right. And not realizing that this is what they're doing. And they're not able to take a step back and see that the damage they're causing to its fullest extent. So those people are like the most dangerous psychic vampires. And then there's the third category of people that know exactly what they're doing,
but don't give a fuck.
No. That's not where I was going. There are people that do that. Yes. But this branch of people, so I guess in that sense, there's four different types. So in this one that I was going to talk about, so in your sense, yes, there are people that know exactly. They are psychic vampires. They understand that there's somewhere, there's like a chakra leak or something is wrong, and they need to siphon the life out of other people in order to make themselves feel better. They know that, but they don't care. And in fact, they relish on it. They enjoy it. They love every second of it. And then in the final category is the people that know exactly who they are and what they're doing, and they try very hard to control it and manage it in a healthy way for themselves and other people. Mm-hmm. And those are like the moral psychic vampires. So those are the ones that they understand that just their presence in other people's lives is painful. And so they try to limit their time around other people, and they try to limit their activity, and their, you know, those are the people that usually stay inside all the time and don't really go outside, and they don't talk to people very much. And you'll never really understand them. You might not ever even meet them because chances are that they don't go near people very often.
Hmm.
So there's a whole branch of those. They understand that there's nothing that can be done. Like a true psychic vampire is a psychic vampire, and there's nothing that they can't be cured. There's nothing that can be done because there's some type of supernatural or like metaphysical way to explain why they are the way they are. There's some type of like energy drain from them, and like a normal diet that you and I would live off of, like food, sustenance, water. That's all we need to survive. Sleep, food, water, self-care, right?
Yeah.
That's for us. That's what it takes. For a psychic vampire, they need more.
Mm-hmm.
Psychic vampires, sanguinarians. I mean, for psychic vampires, I honestly, my opinion is that sanguinarians, people like that, I don't believe that they actually need that to survive. Psychic vampires, I believe they do.
Oh, okay.
Psychic vampires, I believe, are the most real type of vampire you will ever face. I think sanguinarians, I believe that that's some type of mental issue that they believe that they need to drink blood to survive. I don't actually believe that they have to drink blood to survive because humans are not biologically built that way. In fact, it actually hurts us to do that. So I think psychic vampires are the ones you have to be careful of.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, sanguinarians,
they're more like on like the verge of cannibalism.
Yeah, that's like borderline cannibalism. Sanguinarians.
Yeah, experiment in their like smooth humans first, and then they'll try the chunky bit.
Yeah. So like, and I mean, usually it stays very simple and safe. It's very rare for sanguinarians to go above and beyond and like get crazy with it.
Yeah, have you ever seen them though? They don't look well.
They don't. They kind of, they do, they have the pale look. They're
really skinny and they're pale. And like, they do well in sunlight.
I mean, they're not, because they're probably, they have too much iron in their systems.
Yeah.
So that'll poison you. Iron poisoning can hurt you.
Yeah.
But some real life, well-known, possible psychic vampires are cult leaders. Jim Jones, Manson. There's so many of them I don't know the names of. There's certain religion. They have a big base in Hollywood. People know who they are. They make themselves known. I'm afraid to say their name because I'm afraid I'm going to like manifest them on my front steps. So
ding dong.
Don't know who I'm talking about. They may or may not be tied to sci-fi books written by somebody who is not religious or who was not religious, but created religion out of his sci-fi books. We all know who they are. So their leaders could be considered psychic vampires because they take everything from you. So cult leaders, they sway you in, they pull you in with their words and with their, you know, they bring you in. So you willingly come into their circle and then,
Sorry. I was just thinking, what about, like major religious figures as in, I'm not saying the Pope. Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm saying more of like,
but you're saying the Pope.
No. Well, I mean, if you guys want to think that, okay, go ahead. That by all means, you know. But I was thinking more on the lines of what's his name, Jim Morrison or some shit. I don't know. Those
like the TV people.
Yes, the TV preachers. Okay. Like that one dude who's really fucking creepy. Like he's like COVID-19. You know, just like blows and spreads COVID-19. I'm like,
that guy's fucking creepy as hell,
dude. I swear he is a fucking vampire because
he's either a vampire or he's one of them lizard people. Fucking strange.
So cult leaders in general, I can't wait to get into season two when we start talking about okay, I could go on a tangent. So cult leaders, they lure you in with their words. They lure you in with promises of a better life. They lure you in with like, I have the answers. I can give you this and you can achieve this. And then there's the .. but that they don't tell you. There's .. but it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, says the big building in Hollywood. It's going to cost you your entire life fortune. It's going to cost you your whole life savings, says the big building in Hollywood.
The more you pay, the more enlightened you are.
Yeah. And you don't have to believe it. You just have to accept it, says the big building in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then there's
impossible cough cough.
And then there's the ones like Jim Jones, who's like, you know, he was kind of ahead of the time. So like in the 60s, when racism was a huge thing and segregation was a huge thing, he was standing up in front of mostly black people saying, I love you for you. You're welcome in my family. You're welcome in my house. And he adopted black kids, and he created this world where black and white people could live peacefully together, and color was not a thing. Like, there was no black, there was no white, everything was gray. And he created this beautiful paradise that everyone was like, I want to be a part of this. Black people, white people, brown people, you know, pink people, purple people. Like, everyone wanted to be a part of this group. And then here's Jim Jones, the purple people eater, like, eating all of them, right? He's like, he's taking everything from them. And then he moves them all the way to Ghana, away from their friends and their family. And he takes everything from them. So he's like, now I have you. Now I have you hook, line, and sinker. And I'm going to drain you. So he moves them to this compound far, far away. And he spends the rest of his life and their lives taking their essence from them and living a cushy life because of them. So Jim Jones was one. Manson was another. Manson was definitely a cult leader, whether he knew it or not, although I'm very sure he was aware of exactly what he was doing. There's enough documentation and witnesses to prove that Manson knew exactly what he was doing when he created the family. I'll get into that in probably season 2 or 4 or 6. Definitely going to talk about Manson for sure. I could go on 6 episodes about Manson. So Manson built up this group. He had a dynamic. There was a hierarchy. They had beliefs. They had all this stuff. But the promise was, I can give you the things your parents can't. And that was freedom. That was freedom of choice. That was free will. But there was no freedom. There was no free will. Everything was what Charlie said. Charlie said this, Charlie said that, and you had to do what Charlie said. No one did anything without Charlie's approval. He took everything from them. He made them steal from their families, from their spouses. Like, people left their spouses to be a part of his group. They took their kids and left their spouses, drained all their money, and they gave it willingly to Manson. And because Manson said, I need it, period. And they gave them their soul, and in some cases, their entire life. They spent their life behind bars because Manson asked them to, pretty much. So cult leaders are probably the biggest well-known psychic vampires that we will ever see publicly. Politicians too, maybe. But we're not going to talk about politics.
Yeah, right?
Mm-mm.
That'll just open up something that we might not be able to close.
Nope. So we're going to avoid that topic. But...
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
What?
So what about historical politics?
Well, like, Hitler.
Hitler was definitely a psychic vampire.
Stalin, though, is the one I was going to talk about.
Okay.
I was just about to say him, too.
He's like a favorite of mine to look into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you had to finish that sentence correctly. He's a favorite of mine to look into.
You got to get in closer to that mic.
Yeah, like he basically like caused the death of millions of people, more than Hitler did, and he's still loved to this day.
How the fuck?
He was embalmed in like a glass case, and people still go like to see his body and pay their respects to his body, because he like basically created like a cult of personality around himself. Like, even though he was sending people to the gulag, getting them killed in Siberia, secret police were going to people's houses, like assassinating them, like there was still people out in the streets with his picture, like chanting his name, like in love with the man.
Crazy.
Yeah, like he implemented like crazy war tactics. Like in World War II, he basically told his troops, if you retreat, we'll shoot you instead.
Oh, well, I mean, that was actually kind of a typical tactic of that time as well, so.
Yeah, that's true, but like he took it to like the extremes.
He actually fucking did it.
Yeah. Not only that, but like if he saw, like if the commanders were ordered, like if they saw any sign of like even like resting, they were to shoot on sight. It's like, give me an enemy the full defense, or just don't bother at all.
So he literally took people's life forces constantly, and they still loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people.
What about...
Like, there was, like, hundreds of thousands of people in the street crying when he died.
Oh, my God.
It was insane.
What about that one guy, the Russian one, Rasputin, I think?
Oh, Rasputin.
Oh, well, Rasputin is actually a good one to go into, but you know what? Yeah, Rasputin was some fucking else, dude.
He was a mad monk.
I don't know much about him. Kyle was able to tell me a little, but I don't know anything about him.
I don't know a lot about him. I know too much about him.
Well, I mean, this dude, he's like... Okay, so basically... Oh my god, how do I even start with this motherfucker? When it comes to his death, okay, mm-hmm. He was shot a fuck ton of times.
He was poisoned, then shot.
Yeah, poisoned, shot, fucking all this shit, and thrown into a river. And guess how he dies after being poisoned and shot?
He floated.
He fucking drowned.
Yeah.
He was not a witch.
But see, you were shot, you were poisoned, and your cause of death is fucking drowning.
Yeah, like, it's like insane. And like the ties to vampires is crazy because like the reason he was so high up in the Russian monarchy, like the reason why the Tsar at the time, like the king essentially, was so had him in his pocket is because his son had basically hemophilia. Because he was inbred.
Yeah.
And the mad monk came along and, like, did something. Like, they think it might have just been something as simple as, like, stopping aspirin. So, like, because that's a blood thinner.
He just kind of came out of nowhere. He befriended the Emperor of Russia, Nicholas II, I believe, if I'm correct.
Tsar Nicholas.
Well, when it came to the kid who had hemophilia and he was able to, you know, heal him, quote unquote.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw him either as a fucking mystic, a prophet, and others, you know, would think of him as kind of a charlatan in ways, you know, so like kind of like a snake oil salesman. The highest point for Rasputin's power, quote unquote, came around World War I. His influence was definitely increasing because, well, you know, fuck it, mysticism, shit like that. However, once Russia started losing in World War I, a lot of people thought that this motherfucker has something to deal with it.
Dude, he had shit, like, slapped onto him from when he got the crown. Like, he basically inherited a country that was already at war. It was already, like, sick of being an autocracy, having a dictator.
Yep.
And he just came along and basically, like, he was a young kid and he did what young kids do. He partied it up and fucking made stupid decisions and, like, they just made the entire country, like, turn against.
Yeah, this is why you don't fucking make kids fucking kings.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But anyway, he was killed by conservatives by poisoning. Yeah. Well, he wasn't actually killed, but the attempt to kill him was by poisoning and shooting him and then throwing him in the river.
Same, like, the documented account of it is, like, he ingested enough cyanide to kill a horse and he was still able to stand up and like walk around.
Yeah, see, this motherfucker, yeah, I don't even know. But it's usually,
well, he wasn't a witch.
Yeah, right. You know, but it was pretty much suggested that because of his reputation, it discredited the reputations of the government as themselves because they put in such trust into him. That basically led to, yes, the overthrowing of the Romanov dynasty and shit like that, because they're like, well, fuck this. If these people cater to this son of a bitch who made us, like, keep losing in the war, even though, you know, really nobody fucking won that war when you really think about it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why do we want to have them in it? No, we need a new fucking government, and that's why they fucking overthrew the Romanovs and, killed everybody. But yeah, so Rasputin, basically, he essentially just, he was just fucking somebody that just came out of nowhere, just caused trouble everywhere he went.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, like, had an emperor in his pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, how the fuck did that even happen? Yeah. Like, did he just, like, walk up to him one day and be like, hey, so, I heard your son here has.
Yeah. I know. You know? Like, he had such a reputation, like, they apparently, this is, like, I think it's been confirmed now, but they castrated Rasputin and, like, took his dick and, like, is now on display somewhere because it was, like, so famous because he was such a whore.
Oh, my God.
Well, looks like we got to go to Russia to go see Rasputin's ding-a-ding. Okay, cool. The fact that he was able to come out of, like, literally fucking nowhere.
Yeah, like, he was literally a homeless monk.
Yeah, and to end up coming from basically nothing, actually literally nothing. I mean, he's a fucking homeless monk. I mean, I don't even know how much less you can have, to being one of the, I guess, top advisors or some shit for the fucking king.
Yeah, like he basically became royalty.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm sorry, but the
That's some glamoring right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you can't be anything else but a fucking vampire to be able to get to that position. You know?
From being nobody, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you, that's a lot of fucking manipulation. That's a lot of fucking just everything, you know? So it's like, I don't know.
That's pretty much what happened with Stalin as well, because he was just a homeless kid from, like, well, not homeless, but like a farmer's kid from Georgia, you know, the country.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a homeless kid from there, and during all that stuff with the Romanovs and the revolution, and like people getting kicked out of power and people getting in power and kicked out of power again, he slowly worked himself up. Like, he was made secretary by Lenin, who was then in power. And he basically put all of his friends and people who liked him in power. And the more power he got because of that, the more people that liked him. And by the time Lenin died, he was like, I don't like this Stalin guy. Get him out. He had too much power to do anything about it. So Stalin was essentially like, he went from like secretary, like sitting at a desk writing pieces of paper, to the leader of Russia.
Seriously.
Vampires. That was... We ended up talking a lot about like a lot more about vampires than I thought. Like, the outline sitting in front of me right now is one page. Vampires go back. They're super broad. They go back far. They're all over the place. There's accounts of it all over the world. We literally could do probably a whole season on vampire origins.
Yeah.
Fitting it all into one episode is really hard. And we tried our best. So... Well, I really hope that if one, it made sense, because we tried cramming so much information into such a small space.
Yeah.
And if this is something that was of interest to everybody, let us know, because we can go deeper and we can narrow it down. Like, if there's a specific part you want to know more about, let us know somehow. Comment on our stuff, send us an email, let us know, because we will put it back on the wheel. If there's enough interest in certain aspects, we'll put it back on the wheel, we'll spin again, and we'll look at it again.
Yeah, definitely, dude.
You know, our options on the wheel are very broad right now, so please let us know if there's any, at any time, something that you want to hear more about, more specifically. We would love to, you know, spend an hour talking about more specific stuff.
Yeah, because one thing that I know I definitely have been enjoying is the fact that I've been actually learning so much, and it pretty much broadened my view when it came to vampires, because it's like, I thought of, you know, the Blood Countess and Vlad the Impaler and, you know, all that, you know, historical shit as far as that. But then I never, ever really thought about, you know, cult leaders and
Religious figures.
Politicians and all that, and all that shit, because it's like, oh man, that's right.
Your exes.
Yeah, my exes.
Bloodsuckers.
Mosquitoes.
But yeah, like, let us know what you think, let us know how you feel.
Tell us
what you want to know more about, tell us what you want to know less about, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So we are planning a Halloween episode, and we're actually trying to maybe have a little bit of spooky stories. You know, the thing is though, is that we don't want just any kind of spooky stories. We want your stories. We want for some spooky tales to be created. Why? Because why the fuck not, right? You know, we love to cater to the more unknown artist, the more unknown creative, and we just really want to get you guys out there. What we really especially would love, the reason why we would definitely love it, is because what we plan to do is we plan to kind of turn into an audiobook-esque kind of deal. And the only way that we can actually make it happen is if we end up getting submissions for stories. Yep.
So submit your stories. We only have like 3 to 5 spots available.
Exactly.
For time reasons, we can't have a lot of stories. We're looking at approximately 10 minutes. When it's being read out loud, it should take about 10 minutes to read it on average. So 10 to 15 minutes at most.
Yeah.
And we're looking at your spooky original stories. And we have a voice actor lined up and really excited to read your stories. Oh my God,
he is so excited.
He's super excited to read your stories. And we're going to turn them into an audiobook as a thank you for offering us your genius.
Exactly.
So submit your stories to us. Ask us questions about it if you want to. We would love to answer them.
But yes, so when it comes to the spooky stories for this Halloween, our deadline is going to be September 13th. 2 weeks. Oh, shit. 2 weeks already? Wow.
Yeah. And to finish this off, thank you so much for joining us for episode three. Yes.
Woo!
Thank you for joining us for Kyle's first episode with us. He's been behind the scenes of almost every episode. He's a part of every single podcast, and now you get to hear his voice for the first time.
Hey, say something in Scottish really thickly.
Like what?
Purple burglar alarm.
Oh, God. Purple burglar alarm.
Oh, wait. I'm going to kick your ass.
I'm going to kick your ass.
His mother said that to me once if I ever hurt him. And I was like, ah!
But yes. So. Okay, so we are Otherworldly Divergence.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for listening.
Indeed.
And again, I'm Adam.
I'm Tyla.
And I'm Kyle. Yay!
And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye!
Bye!
Bye! Bye.